Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now is Antonio Gonzalez, who's the president of the largest and oldest nonpartisan Latino voter participation organization in the U.S., the Southwest Voter Registration Education Project. During Gonzalez's tenure, SVREP has nearly tripled Latino registration from 5.4 million in 1994 to more than 14 million registrants in 2012. And he currently appears as a regular commentator on Public Radio International's Tavis Smiley Show. And Time Magazine named Gonzalez one of the 25 most influential Hispanics in America. Welcome to Background Briefing, Antonio Gonzalez.
Hi, Ian. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. And I imagine this is a very sad and somber day for you, and I think, I mean, most of all, you know, what about these 800,000 kids and their next of kin, their brothers and sisters, their friends? This just seems such an arbitrary and cruel thing to do, and it feels like Trump and the Republicans are hiding behind a kind of legalism that somehow gives them cover from this act of cruelty.
Well, no one is fooled by the rationale that the administration gave this morning through Attorney General Sessions. No one is fooled by that. This is Trump unleashed. His legislative agenda has been largely damped down by congressional, legal, and public opposition. And he's decided to use his executive powers to wreak mayhem for partisan and personal political benefit. And it is what it is. It is an act of a fascist wannabe politician. It is a form of ethnic cleansing. And I wouldn't say today is a day of sadness. Today is a day of outrage. And there will be a response. The president has once again broken the basic rule of politics, which is to never outrage a section of the electorate against you on the eve of an election. And we're in the run-up now to beginning of the run-up to 2018, and midterm elections are about energy. They're about activation of electoral subgroups. And while things like the border wall and outlawing sanctuary cities and massive deportations have been threatened, they've been slowed down, as I mentioned before, in Congress. But this DACA repeal, together with the pardon of Joe Arpaio, really cut to the bone. There are attacks on the best and brightest of the Latino community. It's ironic. You know, the Republican and Trump narrative of the immigrant, the kind of immigrant they want is an educated immigrant, an overachieving immigrant, an economically productive immigrant, an immigrant that plays by the rules and is responsible. That's exactly what 800,000 DACA members are. So the signal they send is play by the rules and we'll screw you. But, you know, in politics, the other side always has a chance to screw back, and we're now in that. It's like that. We're in that kind of situation. The Arpaio pardon is another example of, you know, impunity. The United States likes to criticize other countries for having judicial systems and criminality without accountability. Well, that's what President Trump just did, and that's what he just told Latinos. It doesn't matter that a public official abused their power to discriminate against you wantonly and massively, abused their office. It doesn't matter. He's my friend, and I'm going to pardon him, and what he did is excused, even though he did it to hundreds of thousands of you. So, okay. The administration has declared war on Latinos, and there will be a vigorous response in terms of protests and at the ballot box. And we'll see who wins.
So you use the word fascist, Antonio. I think it's actually pretty hard to avoid that conclusion that this, you know, when they keep talking about Trump pandering to the 30% or 35%, it keeps going down, whatever the number of his base is, that he's doing this for somehow political reasons. It seems more and more likely to me that he actually is doing it for ideological reasons, that he actually is a Nazi sympathizer. I mean, how much more evidence do we need that this guy...
Just Google it. You just Google fascism. Hyper-economic nationalist, militaristic, targets ethnic or religious subgroups for exclusion. And it's in the dictionary. He's a perfect fit. It's just that Americans are, in some ways, naive about our country. And we're so brainwashed by the mythology of American exceptionalism. We're the good superpower. We're the democracy. They find it hard to believe. They can't recognize it for what it is. President Trump is a fascist. And the only thing you do with a fascist is unconditionally oppose them. That's what you have to do.
So you think there's going to be blowback then in 2018?
Well, I have never been more certain of anything in my political career. And I used to like to say that I have a good, ample gut and you should trust it. But since I'm quite svelte these days from a good diet and exercise regime, I just have to say you have to trust my experience. I've seen this before in California, and I've seen it before in Arizona. And President Trump has just given us a national phenomena of Latino accountability voting that you'll see in 2018 and 2020.
Well, I remember the extraordinary manifestation of spontaneous demonstrations that took place. I think it was it Prop 187, where just millions turned out and everybody was sort of, the political class here in California couldn't believe the numbers in the streets. So... is that the kind of...
Well, it was unprecedented back then.
Right.
There has been ample evidence of Latino mobilization since then. We had Immigrant Spring in 2006 against a super racist anti-immigrant bill, the Sensenbrenner bill, which was approved in the House of Representatives in late 2005. We had the largest demonstrations in the history of the United States during the spring of 2006. And we've seen the kind of hyper-mobilization, Latino hyper-mobilization in various elections before and since then. And we're heading to it now. I mean, from the Latino point of view, you can't have a more vigorous and open public politician who hates you. You can more demonstrate it. And it's constant. It's every day. And particularly Mexicans. Let me just say it. Particularly Mexicans. But, you know, if you wanted to pick on Latinos, Mexicans should be the last group you pick on, because we represent 70% of all U.S. Latinos, and we're the most politically organized, the deepest in terms of organization and leadership, the most well-funded, the most experienced in the American political game. And, okay, so, you know, this is a 50-50 nation in most elections. And the way you see landslides happen when one side is more energized than the other. Well, the president has just turbocharged the Latino vote in 2018.
And you mentioned earlier, Antonio Gonzalez, the hypocrisy of, I think it was Tom Cotton who came forth, Senator Tom Cotton came forth with this new guidelines for a new immigration policy that Trump had endorsed. Merit-based, I think, was the way they described it. And, of course, the hypocrisy being that the Dreamers, the DACA recipients who've just had their legs cut out from under them, they are the exemplars of that very system that Trump had announced. But how is this affecting the GOP? We've heard from Paul Ryan that he was opposed to it before it happened. Now it's happened. I don't know what they're saying. By the way, the former president, who's been very silent up until now, Barack Obama, has come out with an extremely eloquent statement, not surprising, He said, to target these young people is wrong because they have done nothing wrong. It's self-defeating because they want to start new businesses, staff our labs, serve in our military, and otherwise contribute to the country we love. And it is cruel. This is about whether we are a people who kick hopeful young strivers out of America or whether we treat them the way we'd want our own kids to be treated. It's about who we are as a people and who we want to be. So that's the former president, Barack Obama, who Donald Trump has a compulsion to undo everything that Obama did. What are you hearing from the GOP?
Well, I think there'll be a legislative effort now. I have absolutely no faith in the ability of the Republican leadership to organize a majority for the DREAM Act. I do have faith in their ability to put together a Frankenstein, horrific immigration bill like they've done in the past that may contain something for the Dreamers. And I will tell you right now what will happen with that. Any kind of Dream Act, and it won't even be a Dream Act, it'll be a half a Dream Act without a path to citizenship that is loaded up with border wall funding or some other kinds of anti-immigrant provisions like what limits on future migration, et cetera, cuts in legal migration, anything like that. They may be able to pass it because they have the majority, right? But it won't accrue political benefits to them. It won't be supported by Latino leadership or by Democrats. The way forward would be to pass a clean DREAM Act meeting the original version, which says if you're in school or you're in the military or you're working, you get to be in a program, and that program will lead over time to the opportunity to gain permanent residence and citizenship. If you do that, a standalone bill like that would gain Democratic votes and some Republican votes, and both parties could share the credit, and that would be the way forward. I have no faith that that will be done by this leadership in the House and Senate. I hope it's done, but I have absolutely no faith in their ability to do anything. And remember, the odds are against anything getting done. This is a loaded Senate agenda, House agenda. Basically, we're at the end of the 2017 session, so I don't see how this gets worked out. In a way, it's cynical. I think the administration is simply trying to have its cake and eat it, too. We did what you want, far-right states that were pressuring them, states like Texas. And it's Congress's fault because they couldn't put it together. So, but none of us are going to fall for that. You know, this administration is transparent, and we've seen that too. We've heard that tune from them before, and that goes a long way to understanding why he's at 35% approval, even though he's only 6 months into his administration.
But that raises the question about tactics and strategy and what kind of vision is driving the GOP, if any. Because we know that George W. Bush was very popular with Latinos. He did very well. And he was very inclusive, and he ran his campaign, and he made campaign commercials in Spanish. And, you know, there's this, obviously, the demographic trends, the writing's on the wall. So rather than embrace a pluralistic America in which whites will no longer be a majority and simply being born white will not confer privilege, that's the reality going forward. Obviously, Trump and his diminishing supporters resist that. They're rebelling against it. And, you know, I don't know what, do you think in the long run or even in the short run, a combination of voter suppression, plutocratic money, can hold them in a majority position in the House and Senate? Of course, they've gerrymandered horrendously in the House. Is that their strategy going forward rather than...
Of course it is. And it works about half of the time, given the nature of America's broken electoral system, which is only massively participative when billions of dollars are spent. When that only happens once every 4 years. when they're not, those dollars aren't spent. It's a low turnout system, and voter fraud and voter suppression and the twisted electoral college and special interest dollars, it can sway elections, and gerrymandering, all these electoral, the best word to say is tricks, really they're forms of unfair electioneering and voter fraud and voter suppression. All these tactics can be successful depending on the specifics of election. Although, as the demographic changes and as organizers work, sometimes it seems like a Sisyphean labor, work to transform those demographics to electoral change, the window narrows and narrows and narrows on using voter suppression. We'll use that generic term for as a grab bag for everything that I mentioned before, is less and less successful. But the GOP has decided that they will hold on to power playing dirty until they can't. And it goes back to that old saying in Sacramento politics with Willie Brown, power never concedes. You have to take the power. And that's a lesson that Latinos are learning.
Well, in terms, though, of where we stand, you're suggesting that there could be a tremendous backlash or blowback in 2018. But at this point, my sense is that the average American voter, given a choice between the Democrats and the Republicans, they're hearing a lot from the Republicans. A lot of it is chaotic and frightening to people like me who are opposed to their agenda. But at least they have an agenda. For the life of me, I don't know what the Democratic narrative is. They're going to have a narrative, aren't they, before 2018?
Well, the Democrats have never listened to my advice. So I don't pretend to speak for them. I would tell you the fundamentals are not bad for the Democrats, meaning the voters since the Watergate era have never rewarded the party of united government with a continuation of united power. We have united government since 2016. We had it in 2008. We had it in 2004. We had it in 1978.
And 1992, too.
And 1992. In no instance did the voters continue united government. So the history of postmodern American politics is against Trump's Republican united government, first. Second, no president has been this low in approval this early in his administration since polling began in 1948. Those are big fundamentals. And if I was a betting man, and I'm not, I'm a losing betting man in Las Vegas, no winner chicken dinner for me. But if they were asking me to handicap this, I'd say that it's a pretty spot on shot for the Democrats to take at least the House. The House is very volatile, even though it's gerrymandered. These disapproval ratings at the top of the ticket always flood the bottom of the ticket in previous elections. So it's not bad to be a Democrat right now, even though you're right, they don't really have an agenda that anyone can discern. But being not the Republican is not a bad place to be.
Well, Antonio Gonzalez, I thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate your time.
It's always a pleasure, Ian.
Well, thank you. And again, I've been speaking with Antonio Gonzalez, who's the president of the largest and oldest nonpartisan Latino voter participation organization in the United States, the Southwest Voter Registration Education Project. And during his tenure, SVREP has nearly tripled Latino registration from 5.4 million in 1994 to more than 14 million registrants in 2012. And he currently appears as a regular commentator on Public Radio International's Tavis Smiley Show, and Time Magazine named Gonzalez one of the 25 most influential Hispanic in America. We're going to take a brief station break and back looking into the reversal of anti-government sentiment and secessionist rhetoric in Texas. Now the politicians are asking for federal aid.